the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Next verse.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you.
are stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leads us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Oh, your death is heaven. did for us, we could all have the victory this morning. Y'all sing this next verse with us.
Oh, your amazing grace, I've seen and tasted it. It's running through my veins. I can't escape its grip. In you my soul is saved. You cover everything. Oh, your love bled for me. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin, who takes away our sin. The Holy Lamb of God makes us alive again, makes us alive again. Oh, your
Happy Father's Day. I appreciate the 10 that reciprocated. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
I have been enjoying reading about the life of David and Solomon in my daily Bible readings. And there's a couple of verses that are found in 1 Kings chapter 8 that I would like to share with you on this Father's Day, because I see something represented in these verses about the relationship that David had with his son Solomon. And I think the relationship that he had with all of his children. Some of them responded to the influence that David had over their lives, and others rebelled against. And there's no way that we can know the difference of how things are going to play out in the lives of different people. But we as dads have a calling and a responsibility to be that godly influence in the lives of those the Lord has blessed us with. In Jeremiah, the first chapter, Jeremiah writes and says that the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I chose you." And when you look at that truth, it is amazing to realize that because God is forever in the moment, because He is eternal, He knew exactly what our families would look like. He knew who our children would be. He knew what our fatherhood would play out to be. And so that's an incredible reality to entertain in our thinking today. But I want you dads to think today about how you can be that example that the Lord would have you to be in the lives of your children. And some of us, our children are grown, but we're still an example. And as we are an example to our grown children, we become an example to our grandchildren. It is amazing how that legacy carries on. But look at what is written in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 17. Solomon is writing. He has given himself to building the temple. It's known in history as Solomon's temple. It was grand. It was according to the design that God had given David. And here's what Solomon says. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, how did he know that? Because David opened up his heart in the midst of his children, and Solomon knew how David had a longing to be used of the Lord in building a permanent dwelling place for the Ark of the Covenant, to be that place where God's presence could dwell. Up until the time of the temple being built, it was a tabernacle. Remember that? God gave Moses the dimensions, and wherever the children of Israel would travel, they would set up the tabernacle and have that place of worship provided for them wherever they were. Well, now a temple is built in Jerusalem, and Solomon says, David, my father, had it in his heart to build it, but the Lord said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. And when you look at those verses, you realize that a part of David's fatherhood in the life of his son Solomon was passing on to him this passion that he had for the building of the place of God's dwelling. But you also realize that all of the details that had to do with how the temple was to be built had been passed from David, the father, to Solomon, the son. So there's a lot that's represented in that. And you realize that for Solomon to catch that vision and for Solomon to dedicate his life to building it exactly as God had designed it to be built, it means that David and Solomon spent a lot of quality time together. David took opportunity to pass on to Solomon exactly the details of what was to happen in the building of the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul begins that chapter with these words, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that you would be with us in this moment, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you would lift our spirits by your own presence, that we might receive the message that you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that is ours to be fathers to the children you have blessed us with. Lord, of all the things that we give our lives to in our lifetime, the most meaningful is to be that example to our children that you have called us to be. So, Lord, speak to us today about what that example is about. And I pray that we would father our children in such a way that the boys of our households might grow up to be godly fathers themselves. Lord, I thank you for Brian's testimony this morning about his son. And I thank you, Lord, for the legacy that continues because of your Spirit being at work in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dads, God has blessed you with a family, with children. And sometimes it takes us a while to understand this. But of all the things you do in life, without qualification, I will tell you that the most important thing you do is to live as an example for your children. You touch a future that you will not see with your own eyes when you give yourself to being the Christian father that God has called you to be. And so what does it mean to be a Christian father? Well, first of all, it means that we as dads must open our hearts to the living presence of Jesus Christ. That we must decide for ourselves that Jesus is going to be the Savior and the Lord of our lives, and that we are going to bow in holy submission before Him to live our lives the way that He would have us to live. There are things that happen when you follow Christ that you don't even realize are happening. As a matter of fact, the reverse is true. There are things that are happening in your life that you don't realize the magnitude of them when you don't follow Christ. But when you and I commit ourselves to follow after Jesus, it has an impact in the lives of the people that we encounter. Most importantly, it has an impact in the lives of our children. I remember as a young pastor that I really felt a conviction, a calling to having family devotions with our kids. And so we would have those times when we would gather every evening and we would read a portion of God's Word and we would have prayer time and we would just share together about the things that the Lord was revealing to us in those days. But I want to tell you that I was pretty rigid about it. I had a format for the way family devotion should go, and my kids had a lot of fun with that. They gave me a hard time with some of my rigid ways in having family devotions, and that has become a part of our golden memories, if you will, in these days now that they're adults. But having said that, my kids will tell you that as I struggled to make devotional time as meaningful as it could be, there are things that happened in their lives in those moments that they sometimes giggled at in the moment, but now they look back and they say, wow, those became moments when our lives were being molded in ways that we didn't understand. And so nobody's perfect when it comes to fathering or mothering, but when you and I have a heart that is sincerely devoted to following after Jesus Christ, it makes a difference in the lives of our children. Children, is that true? If so, can I hear an amen? I mean, it is absolutely the truth that when you as a dad decide to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, there are things that are spilling out of your life and touching them. For Solomon, it was this passion that his father David had for seeing the temple built in Jerusalem. And David's hands would not build that temple, but the hands of his son would build that temple. Can you imagine how satisfying it was for David to realize that his son's life would be dedicated to such a project as building the place where the Ark of the Covenant would dwell and the presence of the Lord would reside? Dads need to realize that God is up to something big, even when we don't really have a full understanding of the bigness of what He's up to. But one thing's for sure, as you and I spend time with our kids, the bigness of what God is up to in our lives is having an impact, is having an influence with them, is helping them to understand their own existence and why God has put them upon this planet. I remember years ago, I preached a message on Father's Day when I was in Colombia, and I said to the people that day that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And it really found a place in the hearts of the dads that year in the Columbia First Church. And they came to realize how important it is that we as fathers, that we be careful that we not become so sidetracked with being a success in life that we lose the most valuable time that we have in helping our kids to find themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us as dads to take our lives off of autopilot and to be very intentional about passing on to our children the cues that will help them themselves to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking at a video this week by Dave Runyon, and he was saying that we as dads need to be careful that we are present, that we are visible, and that we're interruptible. That our kids know that they can always come to us and that we're available to help them in their struggles with life, to help them to see that light on their pathway that God is shining from day to day. Dad, God wants us to help our families, to help our children to experience the best that they can experience in this life, but it's bigger than that. It's not enough for our kids to be a success in this life. God wants us as dads to take our families with us to heaven. That's the most important work that we can give ourselves to. What an exciting moment it is for a dad and for a mom to have the opportunity to pray with their children to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I can remember Tommy calling, and I can remember Christy calling when their kids were accepting Christ into their lives. Macy and Rachel, when the moment came for them to make that decision, they as parents led their kids in prayer. That's the most important work that you will ever accomplish as a parent, to help your child open their lives to Jesus Christ. But do you realize that it's the way you lived all of the days before they prayed that brought them to that prayer? It's the way you walked with the Lord. It's the way you opened the Bible and read the words that God wrote for you and for your family. It's the way you spent time in prayer. They heard you praying. They watched you pray. They came with you to church. They watched you seek after the Lord in your life and all the different aspects of your lives. It's that influenced them, that served as an example that they might open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important work that we can give ourselves to is to helping our kids know that Jesus is always there for them, that He knows them, He cares about them, and He has a plan for them that stretches into eternity. Sometimes we get caught up in earthly things and we lose sight of eternal things. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church in chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Why did he say that? Because they were getting sidetracked by the things of this life. Don't be sidetracked. Understand that you walking with Jesus will help your children make their entry into a relationship of their own with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, we will be gathered around heaven's throne. And when we gather there, it will be forever. And when we gather there and our children are there with us, and their children and their children and their children, when all of these throngs of people who have issued from our being the example that God led us to be, in that moment in eternity, we will understand how important it was for us to give ourselves to heavenly matters, to give ourselves to eternal things. God has blessed us with a family. Take time for your family. Allow them to interrupt you. Allow them to ask you the difficult questions. Be honest when you don't have the answer. But together, go into the presence of the Lord to see that which He would have you to understand, that which He would have you to embrace. God wants you to be present. He wants you to be visible. He wants you to be interruptible. And I will tell you, that takes intention on our parts as dads. Because it's easy to get caught up in your work. It's easy to get caught up in household chores. It's easy to just do it yourself because it's difficult to involve them in the process. But do you understand, if we can slow down and we can be an example, a hands-on example for our kids, open the Bible with them, hold that hand tool with them, show them how to tighten a doorknob, show them how to change a light fixture, spending those quality moments. It's not only the things that we do, it's how we do those things that becomes so impressionable in the lives of our children. I read some time ago, and it really registered with me. When you leave people, when you've spent time with people and you leave their company, they won't so much remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel. Isn't that the truth? Love the Lord your God with all of your being. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll do those two things from day to day, in all of the ways that you have the opportunity to do those two things, you will be an example to your children. As you love God, they'll learn to love God. As they see you love God, they'll long to love God for themselves. As you love your neighbor as yourself, they'll learn to love people. They'll learn to give. They'll learn to live with a spirit of generosity. They'll learn to have joy in the social interactions that God brings us to. There's a lot of power in the words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Dad, if you're not following Jesus this morning, that's the first order of business. I want to encourage you this morning to make following Jesus the number one priority of your life. Nothing will have a greater impact in the lives of your children and in the lives of your associates than you following Jesus. I promise you that's the truth. Day by day, walking in His footsteps, doing what He would do if He were wearing our skin, we can change the world by giving our kids the opportunity to follow someone who's following Jesus. We can change the world, one family at a time, in the midst of every calamity, just by following Jesus. The world can be changed. Father, today I pray that You would help us as fathers to give ourselves more completely to You than we ever have before. Lord, that we would become serious students of the Bible, that we might mine out of its pages those nuggets of gold that will help us to understand the essence of life. Forgive us for those times when we have lived for things that really don't matter. Forgive us for those times when we have selfishly sought our own way rather than Your way and the good of mankind. Father, I pray that You would help us, like David, to pass along to our sons and daughters that passion that we have for You and that dedication that we've made of ourselves to Your work. Oh God, I pray that when our children are asked in the years to come, what did your daddy live for? That they would be able to say, my dad lived to walk with Jesus. He lived to know Jesus and to make Him known. Lord, may that be said of our lives, because of all of the things we could give ourselves to, the best thing of all is knowing You and making You known. Touch our hearts, Lord, with the truth of Your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me eyes to see more of who You are. May what I behold still my anxious heart. Take what I have known and break it all apart. You, my God, are greater still. And no sky contains, no doubt restrains all You are, the greatness of our this moment here, to believe that there is nothing left to fear, and that You alone are high above it all. You, my God, are greater still, and no sky contains, no doubt restrains all You are. the greatness of our God. There is nothing that could ever separate us. There is nothing that could ever separate us from your love. No life, no death. This I am convinced that you, my God, are greater still. And no sky contains, no doubt restrains all you are, the greatness of our God. Spend my life to know you.